Good evening, and welcome to another Bedtime Story with Thompson. We've been working our way through the War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, and boy, is it an exciting and challenging read. We are up to Chapter 11, The Martians Reach London. The Martians were going to and fro, calmly and methodically spreading their poisonous black smoke over every which part of the country and taking possession of it as conquerors. They exploded stores of gunpowder, cut every telegraph line, and wrecked those railways they passed. They seemed in no hurry, confident that they were succeeding in demoralizing their enemies and destroying any opposition. They reached the central part of London Tuesday, suffocating with their black smoke the many citizens who had remained behind, stubbornly refusing to leave their houses. Until noon, the Thames River at London was an astonishing scene. Steamboats and shipping of all sorts anchored in the river were boarded by fugitives seeking escape. Some rowed out, others swam, many drowning in the process. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a cloud of black smoke appeared between the arches of Blackfriars Bridge. At that point, the river became a scene of mad confusion, fighting, and collision. Multitudes of boats and barges jammed under the Tower Bridge, and sailors had to fight savagely against the people who swarmed upon their boats from the piers of the bridge above. At 2 o'clock, a Martian appeared beyond the clock tower and waded down the river, leaving wreckage along both shores. End of Chapter 11. Chapter 12. A Warship Attacks the Martians. After several days of walking, with little rest, Frank finally reached the sea near Tillingham. Ships that could no longer come up the Thames sat off the coast. Fishing ships from neighboring countries, steam launches, yachts, electric boats, merchant ships, passenger boats, and oil tankers. A couple of miles out lay an ironclad warship, the Thunderchild. Beyond it, in a line, hovered other warships of the British fleet, steamed up and ready for action, yet powerless to stop the Martian conquest. Frank made his way down to the beach and attracted the attention of some men on a paddle steamer. They sent a boat ashore and demanded £12 to take Frank to Ostend, Belgium. My brother paid the fare, and the seaman rowed him out to the steamer. He bought some food aboard at exorbitant prices and managed to find a seat on deck. The captain waited until 5 o'clock that afternoon, picking up passengers until the decks were dangerously crowded. He probably would have waited longer, but at that time the sound of guns was heard from the south, and it continued to grow louder and louder. Soon Frank saw a column of smoke rising from the land in the distance, and three of the warships were steaming towards it. The little steamer was heading eastward, away from the crowd of ships along the coast, when a Martian fighting machine appeared, coming up the muddy coast. Seeing this, the steamer's captain cursed himself angrily and fearfully for delaying his departure this long. Everyone aboard stood at the rails, staring at that distant shape, higher than the trees and church towers, advancing leisurely like a man out for a stroll. It was the first Martian my brother had seen, and he stood more amazed than terrified, watching it advance towards the ships, wading farther and farther out into the sea. Soon another Martian appeared, and another, striding over trampled trees. They were all stalking toward the sea as if to prevent the escape of the vessels that lay there. The little steamer's engines throbbed, and her paddle wheels poured out foam behind her, but she moved with terrifying slowness. Frank looked at the crowd of ships, one passing another, whistling, sending up volumes of steam, letting out sails in their terrified flight. He was so fascinated with this sight, and with the approaching Martians, that he saw nothing at sea. Suddenly, the steamboat turned sharply to avoid being run down, and Frank was thrown to the deck. Cheers and shouts went up around him. He sprang to his feet and saw to the starboard, a huge iron bulk tearing through the water, tossing huge waves of foam against the steamer. When the spray cleared from his eyes, Frank recognized the torpedo warship, Thundercloud, steaming to rescue the threatened ships. Frank clutched the rails and looked beyond the charging warship at the Martians. Three of the fighting machines were close together and standing so far out to sea that their tripod legs were almost entirely submerged. Sunken like this, they didn't appear as threatening as did the huge iron warship heading their way. The Thunderchild fired no gun, but simply drove full speed towards them. The Martians seemed to regard this new enemy with astonishment, not knowing what to make of it. Suddenly, the lead Martian lowered his black tube and discharged a canister at the warship. It hit her side and bounced off into the sea, unfolding a torrent of black smoke from which the warship sped away. The Martians then separated and headed for the shore. One of them raised his heat ray and pointed it at an angle downward. Immediately, a burst of steam rose from the water at its touch. The heat ray must have driven through the iron warship's sides as if it were paper. Then a flicker of flame rose through the steam, and the Martian instantly reeled and staggered. In a moment, he was cut down. The guns of the Thunderchild sounded through the air, one after the other. At the sight of the Martian's collapse, the captain and the passengers on the steamer shouted and yelled. Surging out through the white steam and foam drove the long black warship, flames pouring out of her. She was still alive, her engine still working. She headed straight for the second Martian fighting machine and was within 100 yards of it when the heat ray struck. Then, with a violent thud and a blinding flash, her decks and funnels leaped out of the water in a violent explosion. Her flaming wreckage, still driving forward, struck the fighting machine and crumpled it up like a cardboard toy. "Two!" shouted the captain. "Two!" echoed everyone at the rails. The steam on the water hid the third Martian for several minutes. When it cleared, nothing of the Thunderchild could be seen, nor was the third Martian fighting machine in sight. The steamer continued on her way seaward, with other refugee boats and ships doing the same. Frank stood at the rails, watching the coast grow faint as the sun sank into evening. Suddenly, something flat and wide swept across the sky along the coast, and moments later, darkness was raining down on the land. It was the black smoke. End of chapter 12. Good evening, good night.